I'd like for us to take our Bible today, if you would, and we'll turn to the book of Ephesians. This morning, I'd like for us to look in chapter number 5 today. As we look at the matter of putting things together, I titled the message today, Putting It All Together. As we look at what the Apostle Paul has written to the believers in Ephesus, and we think about how this message, of course, relates to each of us as believers. And this is what the letter of Ephesians is about. He's writing to believers. Now, that's not to say that this letter doesn't speak to the unbeliever, because it's the Word of God. And God's Word is for the unbeliever, that the unbeliever would come to know salvation in Christ through faith. And with that in mind, we'll touch on some things today regarding that. I'd like for us to look back. We covered a couple of these verses last time, but I'd like for us to go back, and then we'll go forward once again as we think about the believer. Paul has made in this particular epistle the contrast of light and darkness. We have seen how that those that are in darkness are those that are lost, and those who are in the light are those who are saved. And having said that, there's this contrast, and in a believer's life, one who's saved and born again, now there's this light of the Spirit of God, and it illumines the believer to walk in a dark world. And you and I are living in a dark world today. A dark world is one that is filled with sin. As we know, this world is under the weight of sin. Paul wrote about this in the book of Romans. He said there that the earth groaneth under the weight of sin, because the curse of sin, when Adam sinned in the garden, he and Eve, the world was cursed, and the land and the things that we see today under the weight of this curse, waiting one day for the redemption, or the buying back, the setting free, if you would, of this darkness that surrounds us. But at this current time, you and I as believers, we have this light within us. We spoke of that last time, and we're to use the light of the Lord. And that's what I want us to look at today. How can we use the light that we have within us? How do we do that? Let's look, if you would, at verse number 7, we'll pick up. It says, Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Now, he's contrasting this light and darkness. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of the Word of God. As we're looking at what the Holy Spirit said through the Apostle Paul, remember it's God's Word, he said, You were sometimes darkness. I want us to think just a moment. He said we were darkness. He didn't say we were in darkness. He said we were darkness. Now, he's writing to the believer, and he is inclusive of himself when he says we and us and things of this nature. He said there, ye, again, this is a plural term, you all. In the Greek, there's a singular you, and there's a plural you, where we would say y'all. And this is the plural usage, for ye, all of us, were sometimes darkness, and now are ye light. We're not in the light, we are light. I want us to get that down, because sometimes we say, well, the problem is that this person that we love, or this people that we see, they're in darkness. No, they are darkness. They are darkness. What is darkness? Well, darkness is the absence of light. There's no certain thing as darkness. It's the absence of light. And they are darkness. And he says this, and we were, you and I, talking to a born-again believer. If you're born again, you're not darkness anymore. You're light. Now, how much light do we have? Well, it's another question. How much do we want? We say, well, when you're born again, you receive the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. He comes in and he indwells the believer. Yes, he does. But how much of the believer does he get? We get all of the Holy Spirit that we want, but how much of us does he get? Do we want salvation and that's it? I feel like some people sometimes say, well, I just want to make sure that I'm not going to hell. I just want to know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. And right now, I'm satisfied with where I live and what I do, and I don't want to be too religious. Well, listen, if you're born again, it's not about a religion. It's about a relationship with Christ. When you're born again, this relationship now that you have become a part of by being born again, you're birthed into the family of God. And if the Holy Spirit is indwelling you and you have surrendered yourself to the will of God, what is it but to give everything you have and take, if you would, the Lord and live as a believer should? Not wanting to play around with sin. Not wanting to go away from the Lord. Not wanting to dishonor the Lord. So he's reminding all of us of this. We were darkness, but now we're light. And we're to walk. And by the way, this is a command. Walk as children of light. How should children of light walk? Well, they should walk, of course, in the steps of the Lord. We're not to walk in the ways of the world. We're to walk in the path that the Lord has before us. And what may that path be? Well, God has a will for our life. Now that we belong to him, he has certain things that he wants us to do. And as again, thinking about one going out of high school, going maybe further into studies of college, or going out into life. And now that we have accomplished this in our life, what's next? Well, the will of God is a continual working of the Holy Spirit through a person to accomplish God's purpose in their life. We could say, well, God's will for me is that I may be a missionary, or I may be a pastor, or I may be a person of working at a position, at a certain job. What is God's calling? What is his will for your life? The Holy Spirit will guide you in and through that by using the Word of God. And as we read the Word of God, please wear that Bible out. As we read the Word of God, we find that the Holy Spirit speaks to us about things that we need to change. There are things that we may need to address in our life. We need to stop doing this and start doing more of this. But this is God's will. So we walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So this is what the fruit of this walking is going to produce. We're going to have goodness, righteousness, and truth. Wherever a believer is in the matter of the light, being inside this person, there as the answer. You want to know the truth to a question, ask a believer. If they don't know it, by the way, don't be ashamed to say or afraid to say. Sometimes we get caught up in a situation, somebody questions us something, and we don't have the answer from the scripture. I would like to suggest, say, I don't have the answer for that right now, but may I get back with you? And what do you mean by that? That means that I'm going to take it to the Lord in prayer, and I'm going to search the scripture and see if I can't find the right answer to whatever that question is. Instead of off the cuff giving someone an answer, and it may not be what it should be. But we're to walk in this truth, and as the light fills us, we're going to be able to share this truth with others. Someone were to ask you, how do you think I should, or what do you think I should do? Thus and so, well, what does the Bible say? Well, to be able to give them something from the Word of God. And how can we do that if we don't know what the Word of God says? See, this is where the believer, his walk needs to align with what's going on in his life. It's more than just being saved and being a child of God, but now we are light bearers. We have this illumining presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, and what it does is it's God has given us that to make a difference in this world in which we're living. This is what he says. So the fruit of that, of course, is goodness, righteousness, and truth. Proving, he says, what is acceptable unto the Lord. In other words, we're to demonstrate what God would have us to be. You want someone that you can set your... you think about raising children. Example, you've got to say, I want you to look at Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. I want you to be like them. What do you mean? The way they dress, the way they look? No, to have that kind of a conduct and character. We're to be an example. This is where we were as a nation several years ago. And you understand what I'm saying. There's morals. And there, of course, there's the things of God. We were morally more pure than we are today. You could, by the way, somebody said, Mr. So-and-so, he's been working at that job 40 years, never missed a day. You don't think he ever got sick? You don't think he felt like not going in? No, he did it. Why? Because he had character. He may not have even been saved, but now you get this person and they're saved and they're faithful to God, and you want your child to take this example and say, I want to set him up, not that he's above reproach, but look at his life. Look at her life. They are truth walking in what they're saying. By the way, a Christian, they're faithful to the Lord, faithful to the place, and faithful to the work of God. And he says this in verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now we're to reprove them. I want you to keep that thought in mind just a minute. We're not to have fellowship with that, with the unfruitful works of darkness. Why would we want to represent Christ and at the same time begin to play with the things of the world? We're not to do that. We're not to have fellowship with that. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. In other words, it's a shame to let alone when you think about it, but certainly not to speak of it. It's amazing, isn't it, how when a word enters into the ear, it enters into the heart, and you don't ever forget that sometimes. I remember what they said. I remember where I was. I remember what I was wearing. I remember what the weather was that day, and it gets in. Don't even repeat it. Leave it alone. Have no fellowship with it. Verse 13, he said, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So now we're going to look at this matter of reproving. That's what he said, that we should reprove these things, but rather reprove them in verse 11. And now he says, things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And I want to ask you a question. I kind of talking this morning in a sense of how we have maybe been taught in a way. I want to think through this. Sometimes we say, well, if we tell someone like it is, that'll get it. If I could get them to church and just let the preacher tell them like it is. We find sometimes in this matter of reproving, they've been reproved before. They've heard it before. And you know what they do with it? I've heard this before. I'm not going back. That's why a lot of people, they don't go to church. They've already been there. They've already been there. Think about it. What did they hear? Well, they heard the proclaiming of the Word of God. Sometimes it wasn't the proclaiming of the Word of God. Maybe it was the Word of God. But where's the love of God? See, the reproving that I'm looking at and what's being said in these verses is something that's to be done by the light. The light doesn't speak in one sense. It does. Yes, it does. It dispels darkness. But yet at the other sense of reproving darkness, how does the light reprove darkness? Does it shout, "Get back! I told you God's going to get you. If you don't do this, he's going to get you. And if you do that, he's going to get you. Anything you do, he's going to get you." But what about the light that just expels darkness? The word reproof, and by the way, there's a couple of, they used Greek words, and I wanted to read a couple of definitions. You'll get the gist of this in just a moment. This particular word, as we see it in the English, and of course the New Testament was written in Greek. And we don't have any original copies of the whole New Testament, but we have fragments. And we have the majority text, we call the King James, where they took the most fragments and put them together and made what we have as the English Bible. But the Greek word, the definition of these words that are used to come with our language, sometimes they don't give the clarity and the full understanding of what may be said. And this is what I want us to think on just for a minute. This word reproof that's used here, eleko, means to reprove with conviction and effectual rebuke. This is what he says. He says to bring the offender, this is what this word eleko means, to bring the offender to a conviction with confession and repentance. We're not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to reprove them. And again in verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest. So in this reproving, what we're to do is we're to bring the offender, that would be the one that's doing the wrong, to a conviction with confession and repentance. Stay with me now. How can we do that? Do we go and say, hey, what you're doing is wrong. You keep at it. God's going to get you. That's not to say that's not true. Would you agree? You keep living in sin, and sooner or later when you die, you're going to be separated from God. That is truth. But what type of reproof is that? Well, that's not the one that's mentioned here. This eleko is one to bring the offender to a conviction with confession and repentance. How do we do that? This is what he says. By allowing the illumining spirit of God to work in and through us, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. By the light. You say, well, God spoke to me and I spoke to them. Hang on with me just a minute. There's a time and place for this type of reproof where you say these things. This is what God says. But what I'm seeing in this particular passage and what Paul is writing to these Ephesian believers, and you and I need, is to see how we can flesh out, if you would, the life of a Christian that would have make a difference in someone else's life. If we are light bearers and we have light within us, then it's the light of God, the Holy Spirit of God, that's manifesting the grace of God and the goodness of God that will cause men to repent and confess and turn to him. I thought about an illustration. I don't know about you, but we got up early at my home when I was small. And we knew what time it was and we knew when to get up. And we got up before daybreak. And as a young child, just bear with me just a minute, a mother may say, "Hey, darling, it's time to get up. Come on, you got to get ready for school. We want you to get dressed in time and everything," and all of that's wonderful, and go spend a little time. But what happens when they're teenagers? "Hey, you didn't hear the clock? What's wrong with you? We're running late." That's not working too good. You're wearing out yourself, hollering and screaming. No sense in doing that. So what do you do? You just go in there and give it the old flip. Just flip the switch. Just flip the light on. Hey, what's going on? What time is it? Oh, nobody's there to talk to. Why? The light, this light now, it's convicting you. There's one greater than that. Have you ever overslept? And it's not the bedroom light that's on. It may be the light outside called the sun. You realize, wow, the sun's already up. What happened? You see the convicting power of the light. It's not always what's said, but it's the light that convicts. And this is what Paul's writing about here. Because I want us to understand, it's not wrong to tell someone what's wrong with what they're doing. But what type of results do we get out of that most of the time? I told you it was going to happen. You were headed down the wrong path, and yep, here you are. What about living a life with the light of the love and love of the Lord that would bring conviction, where people would come to the place of saying, this is what I need in my life. Stay with me. This is what I need. I don't understand why everything goes wrong, but I'm looking at this person, and it seems like everything, it doesn't mean everything's going right for the believer, does it? No, we have problems and we have trials and testing of God, but at the same time, someone says, but this person, and this is what we're looking at. So there's the reproof, this reproof that can bring conviction with confession and repentance. And then there's another word I want to introduce to us as a rebuke as well. We say, we rebuke them. What do you mean? Well, I told them how it was. But what if it wasn't for them? You see, Peter rebuked the Lord. Different word. Epitomao. Same word in the English language. Looking back at Matthew chapter number 16, we find this word in verse number 22. You remember Peter? The Lord had said he was about to go to Jerusalem and die. He'd already said he's going to build this faith. Peter declared the Lord as a Christ. And then Jesus, from verse 21, says, from that time forth he began to show his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and to suffer many things and be killed and raised again. In verse 22 it says, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. He began to rebuke the Lord. Oh no, not so, Lord. See, that type of rebuke that Peter used was one without conviction. Why? Because the Lord was sinless. Jesus was sinless. There's nothing that anyone could rebuke him of because he's sinless. And in that rebuking of this rebuke is without conviction on the part of the one being rebuked. Jesus was guilty of nothing. So there's this rebuke where the light, not even a word spoken, speaks to the heart of those in darkness. For the hope of one coming to a confession and repentance and turning from their way. Can it be done without speaking? Yes, it can. This is what he says. Wherefore, he goes on to say, in verse number 14, he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. See, it's the word of God. We think about the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, the earth and the firmament show forth his handiwork, day unto day, night unto night it calls. There's not a place in this world where a person cannot see the handiwork of God. I don't care what continent you're on. You say, well, they're blind. Well, maybe they're not deaf. Maybe they can hear the birds. Maybe they're blind and deaf. Well, maybe they have feeling. They can feel hot. They can feel cold. They can feel something that says, ooh, this feels good. I'm cold. I've got a blanket. I'm warmed up. How did that happen? It's the goodness of the Lord. There's no place where this voice of God is not heard, and it's not always shouting. It's not shouting the rebuke. Oftentimes, it's the light of the Lord. And this is what we find as a rebuke in Luke's gospel. I'm going to turn there just a moment to Luke chapter 23. You remember the story. Jesus is on the cross. He has two thieves with him there. And at the matter of it, the scripture says both of them rebuked the Lord. And then this one saw something as the Lord began to declare the seven sayings from the cross. And then we find in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 40, it says, but the other answering rebuked him. One thief rebukes the other thief, and he says, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? See, he said that to him. Don't you fear God? And this man comes to saving faith in Christ. He said, Lord, when you come into thy kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. See, he was awakened out of darkness. Why? Did Jesus say to the thief on the cross? Those seven sayings, by the way, of Christ on the cross, they weren't to these two thieves. Jesus said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Jesus said, it is finished. Jesus cried. These things were said by, but he never said a word. But this man began to see. This man began to see. What did he see? He saw the light. And he requested of the Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He awoke out of darkness, is what's being said back here in Ephesians. He said, wherefore, he saith, awake thou out of sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. Seeing then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So if we see, if you and I see this in this scripture, that it's our life that bears the light of the Lord Jesus that makes a difference in this world, then what is it that we're supposed to do? By the way, after this thief said this, and of course in Luke's gospel, Jesus died and he said he would be with him in paradise. It's amazing what goes on from that. In verse 47, the centurion, it says now, I'll read that for you. Jesus said in verse 46, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, when the centurion heard what was done. No, that's not what it said. It said when the centurion saw what was done, he smote their breast. And when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. You see what I'm saying? He saw the light in Christ. Christ wasn't hanging on the cross preaching, you'd better get right or you're going to get left. Christ wasn't on the cross saying, you know, you're all sinners, you're going to hell, and naming off all the sins. He hung there in suffering, anguish, and shame, bearing light. This one saw it and rebuked the other. In his rebuke, this man didn't repent. He didn't confess he was a sinner. He just took it and let it go. He didn't receive the light. Why? At some point in time, and this is very interesting, why is it that there are those who can see the light and they marvel at the light and they say within themselves, maybe not boisterous, this is what I need. I need my life to be like his life or her life. I wish I had peace in my life when the storms of life hit. I wish I could be calm like you are. This is what they need. They need the light of the Lord. And if you and I have this light in us, in this earthen vessels, Paul has written before, he said, we have this in this earthen vessel, then we ought to let this light shine. He says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wives. In other words, if we know what God created us for and we've come to the saving grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we know that you and I are to make a difference in this world in which we're living. Now, should we tell people about the Lord? Sure, we should. But what's more important is that they see Christ in us, the hope of glory. And this is what he says. Redeem, or redeeming the time because the days are evil. We know the days are evil. We see that today. Is it getting worse? Sure it is, not being a pessimist. It's going to get worse before the Lord comes back. Folks, when he comes back, oh, it's going to be worth it all. So we're to redeem that time. We're to buy back up this time. Now that we know how we should live, we should take every advantage and redeem this time because the days of evil. Wherefore, he says in verse 17, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So we're not to be unwise and waste our time. We don't know how much time we have here on this earth. We're to use our time wisely. We're to redeem this time, and we're to understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? If we ask that question, just one question today, what is God's will for your life? I'm not saying where you should work, where you should live, who you should marry, what kind of car you should drive. I'm saying, what is the purpose of God's will in your life? That is number one, for you to come to know Christ. Number two, to be filled with the light and the love of the Lord Jesus, and to understand this. And that Greek word, synemi, means to bring it all together. It's like taking a puzzle. We've got this part over here that says this is darkness, and we've got the part that says this is light. And could you imagine having a puzzle, and we're putting it together. We don't know what it is. We don't even have the box that it came in. We don't have a picture to go by to try to. So we start finding the edges first. You know how to put a puzzle together. And then you find the corners, and you start this thing together, and you see this is darkness. Wow, this doesn't look too good. And over here, this seems like this is going to be a beautiful thing, whatever it is. It's light. And as we get it together, we're finding there's one side is light and one side's darkness. And then we begin to put together, and there's a cross in the middle. How about that? We've got the picture now, and this is what he said. This is what understanding does. It makes sense out of everything that Paul said. Ye were darkness, not in darkness, ye were darkness. But now you're not in the light, ye are light. Folks, say that. You are light. You individually, each one of us born-again believers, are light. Not we shall be, we are. Present tense. We have the light, if you're born again, of the Lord Jesus Christ inside of you. Let that light shine. Make a difference in this world. It's not always what we say, folks. It's who we are. My friend this morning sent me a text today. You had no idea what the Lord had put on my heart. And I don't answer my phone on Sunday. I don't have my phone with me right now. I check it in the afternoon. Sometimes I check it right before church, and I did this morning. And I didn't understand until I opened it up and saw it. It was a picture of me with an Indian last year, man from India, who so graciously drove us for one solid week to all the meetings. And he never said a word. We had a picture made together, and Brother Sabash says, at some point, I don't know which meeting we were in, that the man began to cry because the Lord had gotten hold of his heart. He was a believer. I say was. He's not with us anymore. That's what you shared with me this morning. Said, Father, look, said, I can't remember all the words that Sabash said, but this man, he said he saw something in me. I give praise to the Lord. I'm nothing, folks. I'm nothing but a vessel. I never said anything to this man. As I was preaching to the crowd, the Holy Spirit was talking to him. But personally, I sat beside him driving. He's driving, and we're busy. And I'm not sitting here trying to be a soul winner. Hey, if you die today, are you going to heaven? If God were to say, why should I let you into heaven? What's your answer? I didn't say a word. But it was the light of the Lord. And I thank the Lord for that. And he said something about that man did, had made the comment about it. Folks, we are making a difference. You're here, why? It's God's will. You're here at this place today because it's God's will for you to hear what the Holy Spirit says today. Time is short. Let's redeem the time. Let's ask God to use us. We don't have to be on the mission field. Whatever God's doing for us, let's give it our best for him. Amen? Let's stand together today as we bow our heads and hearts before the Lord. If you're here today and you're not saved, you've heard the word of God. You're in darkness and you need to be in the light. Jesus died for that. And you can be by repenting and confessing and turning to him, asking him for salvation. He wants you to be a child of God. If you're here and you're not or haven't served the Lord like you should, and there's a conviction of the rebuke, it says we're light, we should do these things, let's make it right today. Let's make it right today. Let's go forth from this place today asking God to use us in a mighty way. Right here in our community, in our home, around the people that know us best. Sometimes we don't have the right word to say to them, but let's just live it and let the Lord work through us. Father, we pray today now that this time would be given to you, that the Holy Spirit would do his work in our lives. And Father, we'll thank you for what's accomplished, and we'll praise you for it. For we pray and ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.